Welcome to the Influence Community Podcast.
We are your hosts, Danielle and Alyssa.
We talk about all things influencing and the ever-changing industry.
We share a lot of tips, our personal experiences, and how to keep up with the social media space that's always evolving.
We also love to chit-chat and share life updates along the way.
We're so happy you're here and so excited for this week's episode.
Grab your drink of choice and let's dive in. Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Welcome back to the pod. Welcome to a new week in San Diego. It's still June gloom and I feel like it's going to be this way.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait, is it cloudy at your house? Dude, it's like completely clear skies, blue, sunny out.
Are you serious?
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. So Alyssa lives by the ocean, by the beach, and I live more inland.
3 miles away.
Yeah, so that's why our houses are usually completely different. That's crazy. Funny.
Mine's literally been cloudy for 3 days straight. I don't think I've seen the sun.
Yeah, whenever we start driving toward the beach, there's a huge marine layer. It makes me literally so sad.
Yeah, I am underneath that marine layer.
Dang.
Yeah, I wonder when it's gonna clear up. But
yeah, we're entering June gloom. Unfortunately, you would think that visiting San Diego in the summer would be like perfect sunny skies, yeah. But that's apparently like every other month except for the summer. We get June gloom, no sky July, and foggest. Okay, so that's what we're experiencing.
And May gray.
Yeah, and May gray, which wasn't that bad this year. I feel it got kind of bad by the end.
Worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. So yeah, this week's episode, really excited about. We're gonna do a deep dive into just creating content on platforms, how to stay relevant, and how to handle or what to do when your post goes viral, and how to really kind of take advantage of that moment for the better. And like, kind of like, not, it's like, I feel like it's not going to keep going, but I feel like you have an opportunity to do something with that and maintain the audience that you're gaining. And so we just kind of wanted to deep dive and chat about that. But before we get started, any updates?
I'm like, I feel like we literally just recorded, but then I realized it was the was it the 3 day weekend last? No, it wasn't even the 3 day weekend, was it? LOL.
We did a podcast after that, yeah. So like, yeah, it's
I don't really know what I did this week. Apparently, like, flew by. I don't really have any updates.
Honestly, same. I'm trying to think. I'm like, what weekends are like such my
We had a spa day that was really fun. Got massages.
I got a facial at Rancho Valencia for the first time, and it was honestly really good. I didn't know what to expect, so I just tried the facial, and it was honestly such a relaxing experience. I would 10 out of 10 do that again if you're not in the mood to get a massage and have oil all over your body and kind of have to deal with that. If you just want to have a relaxing experience but not have that, then the facial's so good because they do a head, like a scalp, head, neck, shoulder, arm massage. So basically just no lower body, basically. And then the facial as well. And you tell them like, oh, this is a concern, whether it's like texture, dry skin, acne, whatever. And then they kind of tailor the facial to whatever you tell them. And then I asked mine for like extra scalp massage because I just love a scalp massage. And yeah, it was amazing. So I would totally do that again. It was honestly so relaxing.
We love Rancho Valencia Spa. Like, it's such a nice spa in San Diego. And I feel like it's really worth the price, even though it is pricier. You can just literally spend the whole day there. Alyssa and our other friend had to go a little bit earlier. So I stayed and I did the sauna. And so I did the cold plunge by myself, but I was literally in the sauna with men. I'm like, well, I'm here. So I was so uncomfortable, like, whatever. But I just like really wish there was like more saunas or like maybe gender specific, because I was like, what do people do in the sauna? Like, you literally are just sitting there. We were all just sitting there like staring at the wall.
It's so funny. Andrew talks about this. There's a sauna at the gym he goes to. It's like just the Eos or whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess like I would never be this person because that's weird to me, but people will go into the sauna before they start their workout and maybe after they to warm up.
Someone just told me this. Yeah.
But they go in. They're separate because I'm pretty sure they're in the bathroom. So men and women's are separate. Okay. But like he says, when he goes in, all the young guys are just in there on their phones and like no one's talking. And when it's all the older guys, like they're all like, hey man, what's up?
That is so fun.
Like chat. Okay, so, like,
that
and,
is,
like,
that actually is what happened in this sauna. Yeah.
So,
and it's so funny eavesdropping because Rancho Valencia, if you're a member, you're usually like really rich and like, men were talking about their vacations and it was really interesting.
Oh my gosh. I would have loved to hear joking that conversation.
And yeah, they were talking about the different spas in different countries and how one of the guys stayed in this insane spa and sauna. Or sorry, this insane spa that had like a something thousand square foot sauna. I don't know what he said. In Austria. And he like took his girlfriend and the daughter and he was like laughing. He's like, yeah, the daughter looked at me and she was like, I think I was made for this life. And then I looked back and was like, everyone's made for this life. And then like, I was like, I'm dying.
Like, oh my God, I'm just sitting there. So funny.
Yeah. Forgot to tell you I was there.
If I was single, I would be hanging out at the Rancho Valencia spa and bar. There's a bar, you guys. So,
oh yeah, yeah, true.
Great place to be. But yeah, you can just spend the whole day there. It's so relaxing. The pool, lunch by the pool,
and it's so good.
It's just my favorite place. The vibes are so good there. So,
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, so that was really fun, and we got to see our friend who was visiting in town for the day before she left on a trip. So that was fun to catch up on everything.
Earlier in the week, I tried this place I've been wanting to try, Soul Plunge. We should go sometime because it's a sauna and cold plunge place.
I think we have a coupon, but I tried a class. An event.
Yeah, we do.
We have a coupon somewhere.
My Reiki teacher is a teacher there now. So she teaches their yin yoga and sound bath. And she said that people usually do the sauna beforehand and like you're all relaxed and like flexible and everything.
Sauna does not relax me.
I know. So I'm like, is everyone like sweaty? Like, do you shower? I don't know.
Is it heated yoga?
Oh no, it's not heated.
Oh,
but she's like, it's so nice if you do the sauna and then you do the yoga classes. But like, I tried the sauna for 10 minutes and I didn't even know I was sweating. It was dripping. Like, just water was falling off of me.
That's my max in a sauna is 10 minutes.
Yeah, so I just can't imagine. Like, maybe you shower after? Dang. I don't know, you guys. Like, sorry.
I wish they had a location we're new. In Del Mar or like just North County.
Yeah,
it's La Jolla. It's like
it's downtown La Jolla.
A hassle to get into. You know. Like it's a whole.
It was
thing.
So
the traffic
cute.
Is usually so bad, but
yeah. Good. I did the 7 p.m. and it was fine.
Oh, nice.
If any of the San Diego girlies want to go, let me know. It's really fun.
Cute. Love that. I'm trying to think.
So yeah, I guess those are.
I don't think I did anything too crazy. I did like a call with the Macy's Style crew that I'm a part of, which I feel like they are accepting like referrals now. So if any of you guys are interested, let me know. And I think I can submit a referral for you. But they did this is one of my favorite parts of this. They did a call with Meta at their Meta offices in New York. So I took some notes and we're going to share some of those with you guys too in this episode. So that was kind of interesting to hear. Some of it was all the basic stuff that we already know, but some of the stuff was very interesting to just like little tidbits here and there just to kind of hear someone from Meta say.
Yeah.
I wish I was there in person so I could have asked so many questions, but that's okay. But yeah, other than that, I think that's like it.
Yeah. Same.
So, okay, well, moving on to influence of the week, what is your current influence?
My current influence, and I am so excited to share it because I feel like I have perfected my list on this, which, little backstory, I never used lotion until this year. Like, I literally didn't know.
This is
me and Alyssa
funny.
Were just talking about this. Like, I don't know if I just had really hydrated skin or what, or maybe I just didn't even pay attention, but like I literally never used lotion
and
until
like
this
year. And she's like the self-tanning queen, you guys. So you would
and
think
I self-tan
you self-tan
a lot.
all the time that you would be using lotion to prolong and yourself. I did not. Because that's what they say to do.
Yes. I think honestly
and then when
now.
When you told me that, I was shocked. I was like, what do you mean?
I've tried using lotion and I just didn't understand, or I just wasn't using like good lotion
because
I hated the way it felt.
You have super hydrated skin because it must, if you had a hint of dry skin, you would be using lotion immediately. Like,
yeah, I think you're right.
Like when I get out of the shower after I shave my legs and I dry off, uh-huh. I have to put lotion on immediately because my legs feel dry and then they have this dry feeling that's uncomfortable.
Okay, yes, I've never had that before.
So you were just a hydrated queen.
So funny. Okay, I guess my body was hydrated. I don't know, but I feel like since using lotion, I have to use it now. And like it feels different. So I'm like, maybe now my skin's used to it and now I have to use lotion. Anyways, so now I'm really sensitive to the lotions that I like using because I hate certain consistencies. Yeah. And I feel like I've randomly tried like so many and I feel like I have a solid list. Okay. My number one is actually the Rare Beauty Whipped Body Butter. It's the best one I've tried genuinely in terms of like consistency and rubbing in. Like, it rubs in so well.
Like,
it's the best
body
feeling.
Butters are, like, different than lotion. Like, body butters are a little okay. thicker. They are, like,
yes.
actually, they're
this
a lot
one's
thicker.
Like a, this one's a whipped body butter. So, it's, like, I think it's, like, the benefits of, like, the body butter creamy, like, really thick. But it's whipped, so it doesn't feel super thick. It's
yeah,
just
okay.
so good. I need to repurchase, honestly. I'm, like,
okay,
trying
to
find
to
ones that are similar.
I need to try.
It's literally amazing. It's so good. It's the best one I've tried. And then the other best one I've tried, I guess this is tied for number one, but it's for different reasons. Okay. If I want to hydrate, I'm doing the whipped body butter from Rare Beauty. If I'm like going out and I want to be shiny without having to put like a body glow on that's like makeup and comes off on my clothes, Josie Moran Golden Hour is literally the best thing ever. It's such a good consistency. It smells amazing and it doesn't feel super like sticky at all. That one's my favorite for summer. I want to look glowy, but I'm like really glowy when I wear that. So it's like, I have to be like aware of where I'm going because one time I put it on and Josh was like, you kind of look crazy. I put it on everywhere. Usually I was like glowing and kind of, it was like really crazy. I really like that one for like my chest and I love how it mimics like a body, like the makeup. What is it? Like, you know, the Patrick Ta stuff, like what is that
yeah.
called?
Yeah. Is it just
it's like that, but it's literally lotion, so it's hydrating and it's not coming off on your clothes.
Yeah.
I hate wearing those because they come off my clothes. So Josie Moran, Golden Hour, amazing. Like those two you should get. And then other runners up, I love L'Occitane's spray oil. I feel like that one is super good. And they just came out with like a bronzy shimmery one for summer. So love that. But I feel like it kind of does come off on your clothes. So like that's why it's not ranked. Ones that I don't love really quick. Respectfully, Glossier just sent me one and it smells so bad. I'm like genuinely confused. and I love the rest of their stuff, but like, I just don't think they got the scent right on this body butter, whatever it is. And I do really like Necessaire, but I feel like one's an example of it takes me a while to rub in and that's what I don't love, but it's very hydrating. I'm actually wearing it right now. That one's like my everyday. If I'm not going anywhere or doing anything, I'm using my Necessaire, but I don't really like how it's not super quick and easy to rub in. Do you have that problem? Like I have to like,
okay,
it's
which
almost
one
like
are you
sunscreen.
Using?
It's a pump. It's the
okay,
pump one.
I have those too. I've been loving, it's not a pump. It's just like a tube. It's the white one.
Okay.
And it's And I love that one. That one
okay.
I have no problem
those
with.
Those are different consistencies. The
yes.
pump ones?
Thicker.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Necessaire, you get the bottle version or like the tube version, not the pump version. The pump version I feel like is a little harder to rub in.
Yeah.
So, yes, long story short, that's my lineup. I need to put this on my stories because I'm passionate about them now.
That is just so funny to me.
Yeah. Never use them. Turn
like you need to make a TikTok about that. Like I was today years old when I discovered
people use lotion every day. Like I seriously had no idea.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a glowy queen now. So this is awesome. Okay. Anyways, what is your influence of the week?
Mine is kind of similar, but I am currently obsessed with Salt and Stone everything. I love their body wash, love their deodorant, love the hand cream and their perfume, and also love that it's a clean beauty brand that's also so aesthetic. Like so aesthetic, it tickles my brain.
Yeah.
And I feel like all the scents they have, I feel like are really good. Like they're I can't decide which one's my favorite. Cause I'll like use one of the deodorants and be like, okay, this one's my favorite. I'll run out and then just use the other one that I have. And then I'll be like, wait, this one's my favorite. And I just do that with every single one. Right now I really love it's the black one. It's literally the one I bought at the Guild when we were there.
Ooh, that one like smells so good.
Rose and oud or something like that.
Oh, okay. They have like really good, like earthy scents, yeah. I feel like.
I love their Santal one.
That's what I'm wearing right now. I'm trying to test over here. I'm trying to switch from Kopari to Salt and Stone deodorant.
Someone posted on their stories that Kopari is not clean, and like I know they're not a clean, are they a clean, do they claim to be a clean brand? I don't know if they claim to be a clean brand.
People are,
they are not. Like she posted this, like, what? You know those websites that you can plug in the ingredients and it rates it like green, yellow, red. She plugged in the ingredients for that spray sunscreen that's like everywhere that everyone posts about,
and it was bad.
It was like a 0 out of 10. Red, like toxic chemical, like hormone altering ingredients. And I was like, insane. Kopari, like, okay, we cannot be doing this.
I feel like brands get around this by saying natural, and their deodorant they claim is natural. I don't think they claim clean now that I think about it, but like in our heads, when you see that, you just kind of associate the words with each other. Right. So like I thought it was, but that's super interesting. Also, their deodorant is like really wet, and I like how Salt and Stone is like more dry.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to switch to Salt and Stone.
And it's just so much more aesthetic.
Yeah, it's really cute. I have all the minis from Coachella.
I love the minis. I keep the minis in like my car and in purse. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Oh, that's another thing with Kopari's deodorant. I just Googled,
is Kopari clean beauty? And it says, yes, Kopari is a clean beauty brand that's vegan, cruelty-free, and free from over 200 potential harmful ingredients.
Tea.
I don't know, guys.
Maybe there's clean ingredients that alter your hormones, or is that not what a clean ingredient's supposed to do?
No, they should definitely not be altering.
Yeah, we'll do like, some research on this.
Like
that's really
altering hormones that like affect like women's fertility type stuff. Like I'm gonna try to look it up. I'm gonna try to remember.
You know who's really good at this? Our friend Taylor Toro. We need to like get a list from her because she is so good with knowing everything that like alters your hormones and like women's fertility. Like she'll just say random products that alter that, and I'm just like, how do you learn this information? Like this is so interesting.
Oh, I think what's that acne brand based in San Diego?
Clearstem.
Yes, I think they have a ingredient checker.
Oh, that's really cool and smart for their branding.
Oh, I guess that's like pore clogging. I don't know. Okay, I won't waste any more time on this, but I'm going to do some research behind the scenes.
We'll get back to you guys.
We'll post results. But someone did post this and I saw it and I was like, oh, that is not good. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Salt and Stone is clean beauty and it's aesthetic and I love it so much. So that is my current influence. Okay. Diving into this week's episode, we are going to start off by talking about just creating content that typically performs well or things you can do to kind of help your content perform well. And we'll start with reels because I feel like that's probably the main thing that I feel like our listeners do, you know, in terms of content, because I feel like everyone is always just saying like video content, reels, you know, whatever. So the first thing is having a strong hook. And if you don't know what that means, that just means like the very first 3 seconds of your video is very important, because it's basically telling the viewer what the video is going to be about. And then that's what helps them decide if they are going to continue to watch or if they are going to scroll past it and move on to the next video. And I feel like this is so important, because keeping the attention span of people these days, I feel like gets harder and harder. So you want to have a good hook that'll keep someone, because then if your video gets more views and longer views, then your video gets pushed more in the algorithm. So that's always the goal,
I feel like. Yeah. And also, I don't know if you guys have seen / noticed this, I'm sure you have, but when you're on your explore page and you see a reel being previewed, I think it's always like the first 3 seconds, and that can always hook me. So I always try to look at my reel in the very beginning and see if that's something that I would click on, just like based on what the first few seconds are. And like in the eyes of a viewer, like would I click on this video if this was previewed on an explore page? And then I pay attention to the ones that I do click on in the explore page. So I feel like that's a good thing to think about before posting. But it's things like text overlays, like aesthetic clips, something you say. It can be anything. I feel like for briefs now too, if you have like a reel campaign, they always, I've had a few where you have to like submit what your hook is. I feel like it's a good practice like to do on your own, like with your own videos too, because you have to like come up with a hook for these videos now. And so it's like, might as well do that for your own videos.
One thing I noticed for hooks is the feature, like if you are going to have text on the screen, to have it like that edit where it's typing it out, because then someone has to sit there and wait for it to be typed out to see, as opposed to just like having it on the screen, even if it's aesthetic. Like I've seen girls do that really pretty cursive font, and it's like my nighttime skincare routine or whatever, but I definitely sit there and watch that entire thing be typed out, so I know like subconsciously like what that video is going to be about. And I feel like that hooks me without me even realizing is. So I feel like that's something I want to remember, because I feel like I do put text on the screen, but I literally just put the phrase, whatever it is, you know? So that could be like a good way to draw people in and still aesthetic and cute. And I feel like people love that like keyboard typing, like clicky ASMR sound, sound. So I feel like that's always a good idea you can try if you are doing the text overlay. It kind of just adds a little extra, I feel like, to it. But yeah, that's something I've been thinking about. But and then usually with Instagram, it's more kind of aesthetic editing or speaking to the camera, but less chaotic, I would say. Like, not planned, like a little more planned, but like, you guys know what I mean. Just like, Instagram is a little cleaner and like maybe just better kind of visual storytelling with it. And maybe you could also provide educational value. Whereas like TikTok, you know, is like definitely like speaking directly to the camera. I feel like it's a little more chaotic, because I feel like those kind of hooks catch a little more on TikTok, where you're like putting your phone down to start the video. Like that's a hook, and people don't realize that, but people do that on purpose.
Yeah,
because that's a hook. Or like you're sitting down and drinking your water, or you're sitting down and putting your lip gloss on, whatever it is, like having movement at the very beginning of the video, I feel like people use that hook so much.
Yeah, like looking super candid, like it was like a one take when probably it wasn't, but I feel like people are more drawn
into that
authenticity. There's this one girl who's like, she's so funny, but please tell me if you guys are on Corinna Talk, okay? I need to send you her. I know that you have not seen this girl on your TikTok, but she's just like so funny. She just like talks all day to the camera, but she'll start like she doesn't even mean to do it. And I think that's like what makes it do so well. Like she'll just like start a video and no one will know what she's talking about because it was like a continuation of her previous video. So like she'll start the video and it'll be like, also, I'm really, or she'll be like, and then I blah, blah, blah. And people will be like, what are you talking about, queen? But people are so into it because she always starts it unintentionally with and or also things like that. Like, but it like, sounds like she's starting mid-sentence. No, she, I'll send you her. It's not on purpose. She's like that. So, okay. She's literally blowing up because like, it's so... It's so funny because it's so unintentional.
Yeah, people like think that's just very interesting or intriguing, yeah. Or they're like, what's happening? What's going on? So like, yeah, that's a hook in itself. But TikTok is obviously a little more chaotic, which is harder for aesthetic people like me to kind of process and handle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so those are kind of the differences. And I feel like you can post your video on both and see which one, how it does on each platform. But I feel like majority of the time, like you can tailor one video to Instagram and then tailor it slightly a little differently for TikTok. Just like, yeah, how you start the editing or how you start that first 3 seconds can be really important for the hook and catching that audience and helping and that reel get pushed. Another thing too is just either having an emotional or relatable aspect to it, because I feel like that's what increases shares. Like if it's relatable, people are gonna send that to their friends and be like, oh haha, this is us, or like tag their friends or engage in the comment or like share it to someone who maybe is going through the same thing and like might like find the tips helpful or whatever. But again, I feel like it comes down to being like authentic and like just more real, I guess.
Yeah,
than what was previously expected of what real meant. I feel like real means like different now. Like real real.
Yeah. Real real on reels.
Yeah.
I feel like going back to like the share. I know a video is going to blow up or do really well if I start seeing people tag people in the comments. That's when you know it's gonna pop off because it already reached an audience that is sharing it. I feel like if I see that like even twice, I know it's gonna keep like snowballing just because it's already like, I know I got something or like created something that it has that like shareable factor. And I feel like that's kind of the goal right now because the algorithm really favors shares. So keeping that in mind, other things that make your content usually perform really well is having like a really strong aesthetic or strong talking points in something, like being really confident in what you're talking about, or just having a very consistent aesthetic. I feel like that's what I love to see. Creating series is always good. And then also using, of course, the new Instagram update, which is the app edits, if you guys haven't used it already. I feel like I'm slowly easing into it. Well, how about you? Or have you been using it?
I feel like I do that thing where I edit it somewhere else and then put it into edits. And
same.
Then I will
do the final touches.
Like add my font or like maybe crop it a little and add the music in there in edits and then go from edits to Instagram to post.
Mm-hmm.
So that it
same
says edits.
And it says edits, every time.
Yeah.
It's like they don't have a lot of the features. You still use InShot, right?
Yeah.
You use InShot. And then I started getting really used to CapCut. And InShot has this too. But just like the color, the editing of like the colors, they don't have it in edits yet, which I'm like kind of surprised. Or maybe they do. I just haven't. I don't think so. I think it's just like weird filters.
Yeah.
They don't have like that deep, like a deep dive in editing.
It's weird because I feel like their initial target for this app is like, we were talking about this earlier, like choogy posts, like where like when green screen used to be a really big thing, or I guess if you do green screen right, it can look really good, but like, or adding like stickers to your videos, which I feel like our audiences aren't really doing that.
I didn't
and, like,
even know
that's
you
what
could
they
do
have
that.
Available. So I feel like they are starting with like the very basic, easy, like, oh, fun, make it
okay. Maybe they didn't want too much at once, and then it's gonna
and
keep
then they're gonna roll
growing.
Out more probably. I feel like you have to if you want to compete with all
these editing apps. CapCut has so much. Like, it has so many features, truly. Like, that edits is just lacking. So, yeah, I'll do, like, my full edits in CapCut, export to edits, and then do it from there. Because I think they are pushing the videos created by edits because of that sticker, and they want more people to download it. So I feel like when you see them made by edits and you've never heard of edits before, like, you're gonna click on that and then download the app.
Also, I think it's one of those things, like, once you download it, you, like, can't delete it.
Oh yeah, you can't. I
think, like, it's like attached, it's connected to your account, to your Instagram, then, like, yeah, that's it. Just letting you know, not that it's true, nothing, but if you don't
want, like, to, Threads,
be aware.
Yeah
Yeah, and then I randomly last week had a call with, it was hosted by the Macy's Style Crew, and they had a call, or like a meetup or something, in New York with Meta at the Meta offices in New York. But if we weren't local to New York, we had the opportunity to join virtually. So I can just share some of those notes with you guys. A lot of it was kind of basic stuff and what we already know about Reels, but some of it was kind of interesting. So I feel like I'll just kind of skip through and share the interesting information. So we obviously know video content is king, but they said that 50% of the time spent on Instagram by users is spent on Reels. So I feel like that's kind of crazy. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting to hear these things from a Meta rep directly.
Yeah, so that's always interesting.
And then I feel like another thing we already know, but it's a really good reminder, is that the algorithm is different on each part of the app. So, like, Stories has a different algorithm, Reels has a different algorithm, InFeed Post, like, they're honestly all different.
That's, like, good information algorithms to know.
Yeah, and they just talked about how, like, there's a purpose for each one. So, like, in the moment, like, quick little snippets, you know, that's what Stories is for. More curated aesthetic, like, that's what your InFeed is for. And then obviously, like, a little bit longer video content, or just, like, talking or series, then that's what Reels is for. So just knowing that those are all different algorithms. And then they just said that, like, reach and engagement, being creative is the biggest driver of that. So I thought that was, like, a good reminder too.
Yeah.
And just, again, we know this, but using your insights to determine, like, creative best practices, what's working, what's not, you know, trying new things and all that. And if you want, they, like, really push this. They're like, you can follow the head of Instagram, Adam, I think it's Mossery.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it, but he, like, posts tips on his page all the time.
Okay. I feel like I've seen
in that.
Them reposts.
And then they did mention that shares was a really important metric. So I feel like we've been saying that, but again, to hear it from a Meta rep is cool. And then they also said there's a cultural shift away from, like, polished content and more towards a culture that celebrates relatability and authenticity. So it says 84% of young consumers agreed they like it when content from brands is not perfect, which is interesting. So when you are creating content for brands and stuff, to, like, be able to share that message with them, you know, if they're being super specific or picky and being like, you know, a lot of people might respond better to this ad if it's similar to current content that I already do that does well, you know what I mean?
True.
And then for Reels, they just mentioned that your Reels should be either entertaining, adjustable, and or relatable. Those are the main things. They said using transitions is really helpful to keep attention of your audience. And the average view time is 3 seconds, which we talked about earlier. So just really keeping that in mind, that first 3 seconds, if you were to watch a Reel, like, are you catching your own attention, I guess? And then let's see what else. Okay. Oh, and then for the edits app. So they obviously talked and pushed the edits app, and they definitely did mention that, like, using it will help, like, promote more views and reach. So I feel like that was a good thing.
You
to
might
hear
as
from
well.
Them. So, and we are obviously already know that when Instagram rolls out a feature, they want you to use it.
Yeah.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Another interesting thing they mentioned was hashtags. I feel like this is definitely an interesting take because I feel like I still see so many people putting hashtags in the comments and I'm just like, Same. Why are you doing that? So I guess they said that now hashtags are more, they're not used for reach anymore in the way that they used to be. And like how people would like trying to get hashtags to like hit the explore feed. But now, so they're more to tell people like what your content is about. And it's more important for like a search aspect or SEO. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really interesting.
That makes a lot of sense.
Kind of changed over the years, which yeah, it makes complete sense. But I feel like some people are still using them for... to hit the explore.
I feel like I started using them again, but I'll do like three that are super specific to my video. So I feel like that's kind of what mm-hmm. they're saying. You remember when they used to have like an option on Reels and you could pick the categories? I feel like that's essentially like what the hashtags are doing. So I feel like you could probably do three. Like I'll literally do like summer or like summer outfits and then like mm-hmm. the location I'm at and then something else maybe to describe the video and just like switch it up, but like very large picture, not too niche sort of mm-hmm. hashtags.
Yeah,
is that so, like, what they're, did they say anything about like amount or anything?
No, they just kind of had this graphic up and it said like, do hashtags actually help? And it says, hashtags are not a great way to get more reach. Hashtags are a great way to let people know what your post is about and connect posts. It's useful in search, but it does not improve your reach. So I feel like
that's really good info. Yeah.
From Meta directly.
I feel like we should stop putting it in the comment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've been told before and we've told you guys so many times, like it doesn't do anything in the comments whatsoever.
And they actually don't even reach the brand, I don't think. I think we have brand tell us
that. If you are going to do it, it has to be in the caption.
Yeah.
So save your time and energy and put it elsewhere, not in hashtags in the comments. And then, yeah, if you think you're shadow banned, they always have this thing where they say, like, go to your profile, go to your settings, and then you can see under account status to see if they're taking your content down or if your content or account in general is not recommendable. And then you can make adjustments or appeals if you think they've made mistakes. So if you think you're in that situation, you can always go and check. And then the last thing was just, how do I optimize to increase reach? They said, be authentic and be you. Following count matters, but you need to understand what's driving your follower count and reach per post. And to do that, you can use certain metrics like average watch time, if it's a reel, the like rate, which would be total likes divided by the total number of people reach, and then the send rate as well. And then look for patterns in that and repeat what's doing well. So yeah, I felt like there was some good info in there and can be super helpful and just some good tidbits. And I think it's always kind of reassuring when it comes directly from
Meta. It's like it feels more validating.
Yes,
obviously.
So yeah, that was interesting and wanted to share that with you guys.
Did they like give you an email or anything that you could ask more questions? Because like I would love a deep dive into the story algorithm. I'm just so curious. Did they expand at all on it?
Because that
is like one of the biggest mysteries. Genuinely, I think that's the biggest mystery to me of Instagram. Like, I will never understand why my story views literally, like,
have tank the biggest range.
If I'm posting 10 in a row, like, if I'm doing a recap, I have to be prepared. Like, it will be nothing even close to my normal average story views. And it is so like, weird to me.
First of all, one, why? Why would Instagram do that? And then two, like, I feel like I'm just like kind of getting to that point where like I'd rather have my like people who are actually watching get
true
a full like recap of my day or what I was up to than like kind of worry about that. Like I'll use the certain days where I don't have a ton to post to like boost the views, but like
I hate that
I don't understand why like it's such a big like discrepancy between the numbers. Like you would
like
think if so many people
huge.
Are gonna watch one, like why are they not going through?
Or, the discrepancy is insane, and I feel like I just view stories different now, and I it's like the last thing on my mind because I know I'm only posting a few a day. So I just completely I literally forget to post any stories, honestly, on most days because I'm in this mindset of like, I'm only posting a few and I kind of hate that. But I guess, I don't know, maybe some people, I just wonder if it gets better if you're someone who consistently posts like a ton of stories every day. I'm just like, maybe. Would love to know more about the story algorithm. Maybe I'll like ask the... Meta. Yeah.
They like someone asked a question about having like support or something, like a support option.
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, that's like our most asked question. And unfortunately, no, because we would have to hire like so many customer service reps to even be able to serve half of like the audience on Instagram. And I'm like,
yeah,
shouldn't you though? Like,
isn't I get that, it, like, but like, you're meta, like you probably have the budget. Or at least
the people who are paying for the subscription thing.
Someone should have been like, so like, what are we paying for exactly? Yeah. Because I don't.
If I was there, I would have. They would have kicked me out of the building. They would have been like, get this girl out of here. Like, she's asking too many questions.
I know. The questions we need.
But it was like interesting. They were like really strict in that like room. They were like, you have to keep your badges on. Like if security sees people walking around without your badges, they like immediately kick you out of the building. Like seemed like a very secure place. Yeah. And like they couldn't take photos of like certain areas or like workspaces or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. Looks like a cool experience though. I mean, that'd be cool to go to Meta offices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, so I would love that to. Was kind of the takeaway for Reels because it was a Reels focused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just wanted to share those notes with you guys because I thought they were interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
But yeah, for posts, I feel like it's not as much obviously that goes into a Reel, but looking at your post kind of in a preview setting before posting it. What do we use? Preview. We use the free version. Yeah, we use preview. We don't connect our Instagram. We just upload that first photo into the planner thing.
Yeah.
And you can look at it and just be like, is that something that if I was scrolling on my Explore, would this stop me? Is this something I would click on? Like, yeah. Would I save this? Because I feel like that's kind of how your non-audience is seeing that post.
Right.
It's not in like that's a home like, scroll situation.
Yes. That's my first thought now before I choose the first photo because that's when I go on my Explore. I'm just like really always am analyzing my Explore page and like what makes me click on certain things. But that I think that's really contributing to posts doing super well because it's if that first photo can capture attention, it's gonna do well. So now I'm just less focused on, oh my God, do I look pretty? Or like, is this cute? Obviously I still think, have those thoughts, but like, I'm more so thinking in the eyes of the consumer and my potential audience or my ideal audience of like, would they click on this? And I look at it from the preview, app. Mm-hmm. So like not even the full thing, just in the preview as that little small photo and asking myself like, would I click on this? And that's kind of how I determine my first photo now. I've like shifted.
Love that.
Yeah. So do that. Also, I feel like for posts and like what does well and like what gets really pushed, I feel like it really is so based on the seasons and what people are saving, obviously. But I just feel like even more so now, like if you can do a trip before a season starts, like it's gonna do well every single time, I feel like. So kind of if you have like trips coming up or you want to plan travel or whatever, like I feel like always keep that in mind if it is for a content trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And just again, creating content people want to save and share, whether it's inspo, educational, anything like that. Just making sure you're staying true to yourself and your content and really kind of using your own creative brain and not stealing ideas. And like if you are using something as an inspo post, make sure you're still putting your personal spin on it so that like if your audience is looking at it, they would be like, oh, of course I'll listen to this. Like, you know, like it's not, oh, that looks like the same post so-and-so just posted.
Yeah.
Weird.
Oh my God, I just saw on TikTok. Have you seen this drama? It's this girl who sued, who she tried to sue. Okay. That is wild. And then the other girl came back with like, this is fake or something. And everyone's like, yeah, wait, so
I saw the main video of the girl who sued, talking. Like, yeah, and all her talking and like all the proof and whatever.
Crazy.
And then I saw the other girl's video who was like, I was sued and I won. And I was like, I don't know if you necessarily won, but
like the other girl dropped it. That's why the
initial girl dropped the lawsuit, which I'm so curious. I think she said it was like just going to be really expensive. And I think that's the unfortunate part of the legal system is like it's so hard to protect yourself if you don't have the money to do it because lawyers cost literally thousands of dollars. And like at that point, you're literally just losing money. So then it's like you have to decide if like you're in a financial position for that. But
yeah,
I'm trying to remember the second girl's video.
So she like posted screen.
She like took the photos like before the girl even posted.
Yeah, or she bought certain things before the girl posted something like that. But it seemed like, I can't really remember the video, but it seemed like people were still like really against the girl copying, obviously.
I mean, I feel like the initial girl who started the lawsuit had like so much proof.
So much proof, so much evidence. Like
pages.
And this apparently was going on for years.
And it goes beyond just like, oh, like, it's an aesthetic. Like, it was, like, identical posts, identical locations, like...
And the girl got the same tattoo as this girl. Like, the same... Did you see that part?
Yeah.
Like, where it looked exactly the same. Again, we don't, like, know too much about this. I literally saw one video, and I can't even remember the other video. So, like, I don't know. Maybe this will keep going on, and things will come out. But that's, like, such a wild example. And I just feel like that stuff, like... happens all the time. So again, please use discernment around copying or taking inspo.
Yeah, definitely agree. Okay, and then for the second part of this episode, just what to do when your post actually goes viral and how to make the most of it. So obviously, like, having your bio set, I feel like is so important, and like having your call to action in there, making sure your bio is super clear of like who you are. And, you know, if maybe your viral video was an outfit video and then like, you have like 5,000 comments of people asking where it's from, like obviously making sure like your LTK or whatever affiliate link, Amazon, whatever it is like set up so that people can click the link and find it, so that there's no way you can respond to like all those comments. And
so
just making sure your bio is kind of set up for that, so when people do go to click your profile, they know who you are and you can just speak to your niche that way, and you are very clear with this new audience that's walking in of like who you are and what you're providing on your page or what your page is about, so then they can make that informed decision if they are going to follow you or not. And it's just a good way to avoid anyone who is not your ideal target audience. So they'll click your profile, see what you're about, and they're like, not for me. Great. Moving along. So having your bio, I think, set is a really important aspect of when you're going viral.
Yeah, I feel like bios are low-key so important, and it's not really something people think about too much. But yeah, if I see a video and I click on the girl's bio and it's like something super relatable, like Los Angeles, like, and she does like outfit videos every day or whatever, I'm like, wait, how do I not follow this girl? Like, she's so cute, I'm gonna follow her. But if this girl had nothing in her bio, or maybe it was just like, that's not the type of content she usually does, like, I'm probably not going to follow. So yeah, just think of in the terms of your ideal audience, because I feel like it can really wrap them in.
Yeah,
I feel like also making quick follow-ups and responding to comments from the viral video is super important. I kind of always forget to do this, just because honestly recently when a video goes hard,
like people are quick, and I'm like,
and
dang,
also like the mental health. Yeah, the mental health aspect of when your video goes viral, though, like, you gotta get through all the mean hate comments too. I feel like it's hard to do this, honestly, because when a video goes viral for me, I actually just stop reading the comments. But like, if you want, you know what, if you want to like really keep it going, I think it's so beneficial to be responding to comments with videos, because then people, first of all, are engaged. And I, whenever I see a video on TikTok go viral, like, I honestly do always watch the response videos, and then you just get pushed out even more with the algorithm, and it's just going to keep going, and people will probably continue the saga or ask more questions because they think you're going to respond to their comment. So I just feel like this is a really, really smart thing to do.
Yeah, I feel like people are so quick with it on TikTok.
Yeah.
But that's like,
yeah, I feel like this is more so a TikTok thing. I feel like I don't see it as much on Instagram. I feel like you might as well. Like, it's probably going to be a trend more so on Instagram soon, but I don't see it as much on Instagram. But I think I do it. I try to do it sometimes, even if it's not even a video that relates directly to a comment. Like, if it relates to the video, I'll respond to a comment, make the video, even if it's just like an aesthetic video, just so it potentially gets pushed out more. But I haven't seen anything like that directly is related to it being pushed out more from the response videos for Instagram, but for TikTok, I have.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely you want to like take full advantage of that, not just kind of like ride the wave and let it die down, because obviously people are coming to your profile to see more about who you are and your content. And I feel like you can tell that from your analytics. Like, I'm pretty sure it still says your profile visits. So if like you see that number going up, you can tell like, okay, am I getting followers from this? Am I not? And like checking that kind of ratio to see if you're capturing your audience there, and then just continuing to create similar content to what just performed well or what went viral, like make maybe a different variation of it, but like similar, and see if it'll kind of like keep getting pushed. Since you know the algorithm is favoring that video at the moment, it might favor another one too. So just kind of keep it going. And then obviously it dies down eventually, but I think just being prepared to make the most of it can be super helpful with capturing, you know, a new audience, some new people, and keeping those people like interested, I guess. Like, the one thing I feel like you don't want to do is like go super viral, gain 10,000-20,000 followers, and then maybe that video wasn't specifically related to your niche, and then you continue to post your normal stuff, and then it like starts to go down, because then all those people are like, wait, that's not actually what she posts all the time, I'm gonna unfollow.
Yes. I feel like my thought used to be, oh, I don't want to make any videos now because something's going viral, because I don't want it to like die down, or I want, for some reason in my head, I'm like, I want the attention to still be on this video, so I'm not going to make any videos right now. But I don't think that's the right strategy, and I stopped doing that because your videos are going to get pushed more during this time because it's high visibility. So don't just like,
and people are going back to profile and be like, oh, and kind of scrolling too.
Yeah, like, you don't notice, just be like, ooh, I get a 3-day break. That's what my mindset used to be like, truly, on TikTok at least. Like, I'm like, oh, I get a 3-day break, I'm not like posting anymore. But yeah, they say not to do that. So don't do that if you can.
Yeah, which is exhausting. But again, I feel like it's kind of the moment to like keep pushing and driving like really hard while you have this opportunity. Because like for me, when I see a viral video, I go to that person's profile, especially if it's like TikTok, and then I'll go watch their like most recent videos to like see what this person is about. So then you're getting more views on all those videos kind of surrounding that viral video. So you're boosting views. So yeah, if you're posting new ones, like those ones are getting those views too. So yeah, that makes sense. And then I think just like understanding that your content is being pushed by the algorithm after a viral video, and just making sure to post relevant content that'll capture that audience's attention, whether you're like, I feel like if you're on Instagram, like posting stories is still really good. So people can kind of see your personality and like what you're posting maybe on a more daily, consistent basis if you don't post every day. But so they see your stories, they're like, oh, I like this person. I think it can be overwhelming when it happens at first. But again, kind of being prepared ahead of time will help you kind of take advantage of that moment a little better. And if it is overwhelming the first time it happens, totally fine. It'll definitely happen again. So just kind of have that mindset, I feel like. So again, I think my biggest fear, and something that like I'm always trying to think about, is making sure that I'm attracting like my ideal niche audience. I like have this fear that a video is going to go viral in the wrong audience, which is obviously not
a good
thing and not ideal, because then you're going to get random followers you'll probably have to end up removing anyway. So I feel like that's my thing, is like I really make sure, like, okay, is this targeting a female demographic ages this or this in the United States, like, you know, like your target. So
yeah, I feel like I'm very aware of, I don't know, you always have to be thinking the other side of like who you're, who's watching your videos. So I'm probably not going to be posting, and there's nothing wrong with this, I just don't want to end up on the wrong side. So like things that could end up on the wrong side are unfortunately like bikini videos or something like beach related or pool related. I feel like I'm pretty conscious of like, I don't want to be in a full bikini, but I love creating an outfit and a vibe around a bikini for summer, but it's very much tailored to the girls, if that makes sense, because I want a female audience. So just like understanding your audience in that way, because it can really hit the wrong side if not. Same thing with feet. Hate having feet in any of my videos, because there's a weird, like, there's a weird side that those videos can end up on. So just being, trying to be aware of that.
It can be a scary world out there. That's why you have to be thinking about these things ahead of time, so that you're not in that situation. But another thing you can do, closing this out really fast, is that using that viral moment and kind of turn it into something, whether that's creating a series, if that video did really well, like keep going, like if you were giving advice on something, keep going with that, create a whole series on it. Like, I feel like that's how things go viral on TikTok. It was like, who the F did I marry? And then like people just ran with it and had like 50 parts. But like those hooks were like grabbing people in and going viral.
Yeah, so I love like, a good series
or just having a pillar of content that you really, really focus on, or just a storyline in general. Sometimes people are telling a really interesting story, but obviously it's kind of long. So it's like, oh, part one, part two, part three. Like, I feel like,
yeah, that like gets if you're me, dating,
like,
I want to
know, like,
what I love people's like, I love the single girlies, like dating storylines. Like, we have a friend named Kayla, and I like watching her stories with like,
I feel like
her,
she's dating, really good at it.
She is so good at that. She also does like a series with her home, like decorating her house or her apartment. So yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before, but series are so important and something that can really help go viral and consistently, because I feel like sometimes, I don't know, a lot of the times you'll get a one-off viral video, but if you can make a viral series, that is literally the jackpot.
Yeah. And I think overall, as long as you're being authentic and being yourself and sharing like what you love, styling things how you would, you're gonna attract the right audience. And knowing that, like, you know, it might, some of your stuff might not go viral, or you might not go viral for a while, but like that's okay. Like, slow and steady growth is also really great as well, because then you can build an audience that's kind of dedicated to you and your content. So don't feel like if you're not going viral, you're not being successful at what you do. There's like so many ways to like have success on this app. So yeah, just keep that in mind.
Yeah, going viral is not always the goal. So let's just make that super clear. Like, there are pros and cons to going viral, and there's some like pretty bad cons, like red flags. Okay, let's get into that. Red flags. If you are, if you're, if your video is going viral and you're seeing maybe like the like the comments are in a different language, I would say for me, that's a red flag, because you really like, I feel like we have a very, like core understanding of what our audience and where we want them to be. So if I start seeing like
what brands are looking for.
Yeah. What brands are looking for. So if you see like comments in different languages, which is fine, but if there's, if it's all like, if you're seeing multiple, the majority of your comments are in a different language, that's happened to me on TikTok actually. And then I'm just like, wait, how did I get here?
Oh,
and
weird.
I think, yeah, I had this random TikTok video, and I don't even know what the language was. So I was so confused. But I think that might be a case where you might want to like start over because it you know, it just snowballs and then it really can get out of hand.
When you put a location on your post.
I think so too.
Because then it also kind of tells the algorithm where you
like
are.
And like the hashtags, like, maybe that's a good way to use hashtags.
Yeah.
Location, to avoid that.
For sure. And just like if you see a lot of men in general engaging, like obviously nothing against men. We're both married.
That's not
but like
our
not on Instagram. Like that's not who we're selling our fashion outfits to. And like brands want to see like a female audience, obviously. So if you're seeing like a bunch of men commenting randomly, like big red flag, and like I feel like you can either turn the comments off or just like archive the video. Depends like if you want that video up or not, but just we know people who have gone viral and literally gained like 100,000 men, and like it was just because of the video, and like there was nothing wrong with the video. It just unfortunately
reached the wrong side,
the wrong audience, and then they started engaging like so much. And like the best situation in that is probably to archive it, because it's just like you don't like going viral is cool, yes, but if it's in the wrong demographic, it can just skew your insights so badly, and then you have to take that time to go in and then remove all those followers,
so
basically.
Many. And then that gives me anxiety because I feel like Instagram flags you removing thousands at a time as bot activity, and that
it's just
also
like a really slippery slope.
So I feel like I try to look at my demographics pretty often, multiple times a week, just to make sure, because
just
if
take
something
a little
is
peek really quick, like,
and if something is like changing a lot, then you have a video you're not realizing that's going viral, like reaching something you're not intending to, and then you want to like dig a little bit into that. So I feel like it's always good to keep tabs on that sort of thing.
Good to be aware of what's happening and address it as soon as you can, versus just letting something go and skew. Because at the end of the day, like we've always said this, like it is definitely better to have a smaller, more engaged ideal audience than like a bigger, non-engaged, random audience. Because when brands are looking at that, like that's how they're gonna make decisions for partnerships and whatnot. So something to keep in mind. Also, obviously, with going viral, we mentioned this, like you are going to reach some haters. Unfortunately, trolls just live on the internet, and that's what they spend their time doing for some reason. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. I think it just is more about your mental health and like how you want to handle it. Like, I feel like some people are unfazed and unaffected by haters and they like it, because then people are like either fighting in the comments or like,
and it literally goes more viral
or whatever, and it pushes it more and more. But like some people can't handle that, because obviously that is a lot to handle. And so like, if like you were saying earlier, like sometimes you just can't look, then like,
I literally don't read anymore.
Don't look, if that's what you have to do, obviously. But yeah, again, hate's not necessarily a bad thing, but like, don't look at it if you don't.
Yeah, don't read into it too much, because people are
again
bitter.
At the end of the day, like these people have no idea who you are. Like it all is coming from an either like a jealous or insecure place. Like if you're willing to spew hate on the internet to strangers, like that reflects them, not you.
Yeah.
So just always, always remember that when you're dealing with hate or in that situation. And also, if you have more reach or higher views on something, that's always going to invite, you know, maybe different opinions. And it's kind of just part of the process. And I feel like just let people air out whatever they're trying to air out, and like, don't address it. Like, don't give it attention.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want attention drawn to something, just don't give it. And like, they will move onto the next piece of content they see scrolling and start their drama over there too. Like it's what they're trying to do, basically.
True.
So just remember that. And the hate, focus on you, your audience, like your life, your friends, you know who you are, you know what kind of person you are. And just know there's always like grumpy trolls trolling around.
Yes, unfortunately, like that's when you know something's gonna go viral, or like you made it, is when someone feels comfortable enough and they think you're not gonna see their comment on your video. But yeah, I feel like you build tough skin the more you do it, and yeah. the more you're in this industry.
And just if you practice with it and you just kind of get used to it. And I think the goal, you know, is to just always turn a viral view into a long-term relationship with your audience. So it's like the audience that's meant to be there will stick around, and the audience that's not will leave, which is what you want anyway, because you want the engaged, active audience and people who care about you mm-hmm. and what you're sharing versus people who just, I don't know why, will randomly follow and then unfollow. So again, that's why it's like super important to be clear with like your bio and like your content mm-hmm. and you are taking advantage of that. So like this incoming audience knows what to expect, and that's when they make that decision to follow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it for this episode, but I feel like I had really good insights onto this topic and you guys have asked us about it. So we wanted to go over that with you. Do you want to share our listener of the week this week?
Yes. Our listener of the week is Claire. Her Instagram handle is at CLAIRETADOKORO. I feel like I just said so many O's. But Claire is like one of the OG girlies we met at
our first
influence community meetup.
Yeah.
She's so sweet and we really appreciate her because she's still listening. So shout out to you, Claire, but she also followed up on our last episode when we were talking about spring cleaning and how we wish that we could storage issues, how we wish we could filter videos by the length of the video. So I know which ones are just taking up the most space and you can delete them. So apparently you can, and she showed us how. She sent over a screen recording. Apparently it's in the storage, in your iPhone storage, and you click on gallery to view your videos. So such good information. Thank you so much for sharing and following up on that. Also, if you guys want to check her out, she makes comedy like skit videos, which are really funny. And she also has
content because it's like it's refreshing.
I love her
and
voice.
Like she's not like a fashion girly like we are, and that's why I don't know. I just love her so much.
Her videos really. I love her humor and I love her voice. Something about her voice. It's like.
It's
so cute.
It's refreshing to see her stuff.
Yeah. But she has a podcast for new moms called Whatcha Expecting. And so I feel like everyone I see on social media right now is pregnant. No, so if you're one of those girlies, definitely check her podcast out because she's a new mom.
She just had a baby and I think her maternity leave just ended. So she's like going back to work. So she's like has content about that. And she's a New York girly. So relatable. I feel like she's such an interesting person. And we love her.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Claire.
Thank you. Yeah. So much for DMing us and helping us out. And we just appreciate you and so grateful that we met you in New York and connected that way and are still connected. Honestly, that's like my favorite part of social media is connecting IRL with you guys and then just continuing these connections, even though we don't see each other in person ever or like that much. It's just like so nice to have that one initial in-person connection and then being able to just maintain that. So super special and she's so sweet. So we love her so much. And thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. We hope you liked it. Leave us a little cute rating. You can comment on podcasts now on Spotify. So comment on this episode and say hi.
Yes.
I saw that feature. I thought that was cool, but I think that's it, and hope you guys have an amazing week this week, and we will chat next week. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.